Book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 17. Now, when you go to Ephesians, there's a couple of prayers in Ephesians. There's this prayer in Ephesians 1, and then there's another prayer that Paul prays over in Ephesians 3. But it's a good idea for you to just go find those in the Word of God and just read them over and over. And Brother Hagin said he always put his name in there, and he said that it just brought all kinds of revelation to him. He just put his own name, made them personal for himself. But I want to bring this one out here in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Paul praying really for revelation to the church. He says in verse 17, the prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, you probably just need to go ahead and underline that God set Jesus Christ at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay? Because we're going somewhere with that. You might want to just underline that so you see where Jesus is at. Well, where is He? Well, He's, verse 21, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And, chapter 2, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Everybody say, but God. Aren't you glad there's a but God there? But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look what Paul tells us here in Ephesians as he's praying. Look what he's praying. For us to get a revelation, really, of who Jesus is and where Jesus is. Amen? He wants you to get a revelation that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father right now. Come on. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now, where's that at? Well, notice that it's far above principality. Really? Power, might, dominion. Far above all that. You say, well, Pastor, really, what's he trying to say here? Well, if you go back and look, and I wanted to do it because I just wanted to do a little word study, because it says we're far above, or He's far above, Jesus is far above all principality. If you go back and look at that Greek word, it means chief rank, or the rank and leadership of the enemy. So He's far above the chief rank of the enemy. And power, that word power there is the Greek word exousia. And it means authority. Okay? So He's above the rank of the enemy. He's above the authority of the enemy. And might. That word might there is the Greek word dunamis, which means power. Power. It's where we get our word dynamite from. Really, it means miracle working power. So He's above all the power of the enemy. And dominion. The word dominion here really means rulers. So if you see this, it's really what Paul's trying to tell us. He wants us to understand that Jesus is positioned above everything that the enemy has. Right? Now, see, what I want you to see in this, and we've taught this before, but you need to get a hold of this, because if you don't understand this, then you're not going to take the authority that you need to take. You're not going to stand and declare the Word the way you need to declare the Word. Notice that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And then down in chapter 2, look what the Bible says. Verse 6, it says that, but God, in verse 4, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together, where at? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the revelation Paul's trying to get us to understand is that Jesus has been elevated to a position at the right hand of the Father, and because we're in Jesus Christ, you and I have been elevated at the right hand of the Father too in Christ Jesus. We have been spiritually positioned at the right hand of the Father with the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's that at? Well, that's far above principality. Come on. And power and might and dominion. When God placed Jesus above everything the enemy has, He placed you above everything the enemy has. Come on now. Jesus told us the same thing in Luke chapter 10. Remember Luke chapter 10? Let me read it to you. Verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on, that's what Jesus said. Now see, if you go back and look at those words. When He says, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, it's translated power, but it's that word exousia. I give you authority. Now you understand He's not talking about snakes and stinging crawdads, right? When He says snakes and He's talking about demonic spirits here, folks. He's talking about the same thing Paul was talking about. Of course, Paul got it from Jesus, and so he just repeated it. But he says, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis of the enemy. The power, the dynamic, miracle-working power. How many knows the enemy can do some stuff? He's got some power on this earth. He's the God of this world. But Jesus said, I'm giving you power over all that. Paul tells us we've been seated with Christ Jesus above everything the enemy has. Isn't that good news? Come on, see, if you don't see yourself there, then you'll always be defeated, because you'll always think the devil's got something over on you. Makes me mad when people say, well, I'm afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. More power in our little finger than the devil's got. Come on. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You have power over the enemy. Look at your neighbor and say, I got power over the enemy. Come on, you need to say it like you mean it. I got power over the enemy. So quit acting like the devil's this big guy that's got power over you and he can whip up on you. You've got to understand that the anointing of God that's in you will put the devil on the run. Why is he not running? Because you're not making him run. Come on, churchy. You've got to see. Hey, anybody ever seen some of the videos where you got this big dog and this little cat out there, and the little cat slapping the dog and making the dog run? Huh? You ever seen some of those videos? You know, just a little kitty cat. He'll stand up on his back legs and come at that dog slapping, and that dog turn tail and run. That dog's so big that one bite he could take out the cat. One bite, gone cat. But instead he runs. Why? Because he don't understand that he's bigger than the cat. The cat's got a growl. It's got a hiss. It's got a swipe. But one bite from the dog and the cat's gone. The devil is walking about. Notice he's walking. As a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. Walking and seeking whom he may. Or in other words, the devil's walking trying to find somebody to give him permission to devour. He's looking for permission. What's permission? When you say, I can't do that. Don't say that very loud. The devil will hear you. He understands already he's got authority over you. You're not exercising your authority over him. So he stands on his back feet and slaps you around a little bit and makes you run. Come on. You've got to get a picture of this thing, because that's what God wants us to be. God wants you and I to stand. You understand, when you stand up, you're standing up with the same anointing that Jesus Christ was anointed with. Come on, the same Holy Ghost that anointed Him there when He descended as a dove upon the Lord Jesus and Jesus started doing signs and wonders and miracles is the same Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of you. Jesus is gone now. He is positionally seated at the right hand of the Father, and you are, and I are spiritually seated at the right hand of the Father, but positionally we're here upon the earth. But the Bible very clearly here in Ephesians tells us that He's the head and the church is the body of Christ. So the head's positioned at the right hand of the Father. We spiritually are there with Him, but we are bodily here on this earth, body of Christ. So we're supposed to be doing the things that Jesus would do when He was upon the earth. Why? Because we're part of His body. That's why Jesus said, "It's expedient for you that I go away so the Comforter can come." Why? Because He knew once we were anointed of the Holy Ghost, then we could do what He did. That's why He was able to say, "The works I do will you do, and even greater works will you do, because I go to the Father." Well, I'm going to the Father, sending the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will come in you, and there won't be just one on the earth. There'll be a whole multitude. My whole body will be loosed on the earth with the Spirit of God. Come on, see, you start getting a hold of some of this, and you'll understand that the church is not some weak entity. Come on, Christianity is just not some crush that weak-minded people have to fall onto. No, you've got to understand Christianity is nothing other than the power of God being manifest upon the earth through the body of Christ. Amen. And see, that's what we ought to be. Instead of acting like we're victims, we ought to understand that we're victors. We ought to understand that we're already champions because the Lord Jesus Christ has made it that way. Amen. So Paul's trying to get everybody to understand their position and get them to understand their authority, where they're at, that the enemy has no power over us. When you start getting that, you'll understand that you've been chosen by God. Look over here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Why? "That you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." God chose to call you out of the authority of the devil and bring you over into the kingdom of His Son. He said, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." See, what I'm trying to get you to understand, that God has placed you and I here on this earth and give us an elevated position. Notice we're at the right hand of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now here He tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Well, you understand that the priesthood is an elevated position, right? Come on. When you go back and you look at the children of Israel, you have the priesthood and then you have the laity. Come on. The priesthood were responsible for worship to God. They had the responsibility, but they also had the authority. God has placed you in the priesthood of God. Come on, that's what the Bible says. Now, either God's lying or He's made you a royal priesthood. Notice again that it's a royal priesthood. How many knows royalty is an elevated position? Come on, when you're royalty, right? I mean, you know, we don't know what we have presidents here, but you know, you go across over to England, you know, they've got kings and queens and that kind of thing, and they call them the royalty. Right? Traffic stops and gets out of the way so they can come down the road. Come on now. They're royal. Why? They're in an elevated position. And that's where God wants us to operate from. And I hope before we get through this morning that you'll see your place and want to operate from there. So He says, "I've placed you in this." And understand, this is God's decision to do that, to place us in that royal position. But now I want you to look at verse 11 here, because verse 11 is a warning that tells us that if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to be pulled down from that elevated position. Look what he says. Verse 11, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You see, the thing that will bring you down from your elevated position in Christ, the thing that will cause you to come down, is your fleshly lust. Let me give that to you in Amplified, a couple of scriptures here in the Amplified to bring that out just a little bit. That same verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, in the Amplified says it this way, "Beloved, I implore you as aliens and strangers and exiles in this world to abstain from the sensual urges, the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature that war against the soul." Notice here in the Amplified, it says that it's the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature. Do you understand that you were at one time, the Bible told us there in Ephesians chapter 2, we had our living and our life was in the things of this world, that he says that the children, you know, of disobedience, they're still there, but God brought us up out of that lower nature and placed us in an elevated position. The lower nature is that of the flesh, that of the world, the desires of the flesh, you know. That's the lower nature. But he says, you've got to be careful about the fleshly lust, the things that will cause you to get back into that lower nature. Galatians 6:8 says this, "For he who sows to his own flesh," lower nature, sensuality, "will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So see, here we're getting it from Paul. He's helping us to understand. Peter's telling us, you've got to be careful and guard yourself because God wants you living and operated from that elevated position. But if you're not careful, you can let your flesh, your lower nature, bring you down. Now, see, here's the thing I want to talk to you just a little bit here about. Notice that it talks about, you know, the fleshly lust. A lot of times, you know, when you see the word lust and talking about fleshly lust, everybody starts thinking about sexual. You know, that's the first thing starts popping in. And don't get me wrong, that is an aspect of it. But also, you've got to understand that fleshly lust can be somebody that wants power. Somebody that wants influence. Okay? And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So, you know, the lust after money, that's a fleshly lust. If we're not careful, there's some things that can pull us down from our elevated position because that's a fleshly lust that we're going after, our lower nature. Do you understand that God says when you seek the kingdom of God and first, then all the things will be added, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added to you. Right? What happens to us sometimes is the flesh gets after us and we start seeking after the money. We seek after the authority. We seek after the power. You know, of course, we understand that most of them are crooked. I'm not saying all of them, but most of them. Well, you know, you've got to kind of look around and see why these people that want to be candidates, why they want to get in office for a low-paying job. You know, while a lawyer would give up a law practice to go in for a job that pays what, you know, $80,000, $90,000 a year? They make that much on one case. Why do they do? Well, there's some things. They like the power. They like the influence. And they like the money that's coming under the table. Come on. Look at them, folks. They went in broke and they come out. Now they're multimillionaires. They didn't get that from their salary. See, so I'm trying to tell you that those are things that will bring down and they appeal to the flesh. So that brings us down to that lower nature. And so it'll pull us down from that elevated position. You have to guard. Proverbs says that we got to guard our heart with all diligence. Because out of it's flowing the issues of life. So we have to be careful about the things that we allow to get a hold of us. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we all like money. Come on, isn't that right? I think we all like money. But it's the love of money. That's where it comes in. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have money. Matter of fact, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. So it's not the money, but it's the love of it. It's that attitude. It's that lower nature that gets a hold of us when we decide that's our goal. That's what we're coming after. Now, when we operate in our spiritual position, which is, again, far above, right? All principality, power, might, and dominion. When we operate in there, the enemy is no match for us. When you operate from that elevated position, the enemy is no match for us. No match. Yeah, but he's the devil. I don't care who he is. Jesus has already defeated him. Come on, he's already a defeated foe. Amen. Our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, whipped up on him, made an open show of him. Hallelujah. So he's already a defeated foe. So if we stay in that same elevated position with the anointing of God and the Spirit of God, there's no way. The devil doesn't have, he cannot defeat you. So therefore, he's got to try to bring us down to his level. Where is his? Well, he's the God of this world. And so he's trying to bring us from our elevated level, the spiritual level, down to a worldly level or a natural level. And when we get down on his playing field, that's where he's able to manipulate things that appeal to our fleshly nature. Come on. See, you've got to understand that. You've got to understand the devil wants to get you down on his plane. So that's why the Bible tells us that we need to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. Because the devil will use that on you. Amen. You know, you got a problem with drinking, your buddies are going to show up and ask you to take a drink. Come on now. You got a problem with women, they're going to be a loose woman. Come around. You've got a problem with men, they're going to be a whoremonger. Come around you. Come on now. Let's just get where it's at. Why? Because the devil has set you up. He knows what appeals. Listen, he knows you about as good as you know yourself. You say you're giving him credit. No, I'm just telling you, he's dealt with man since man's been on the earth, and he knows how to deal with mankind, knows how to tempt us. Come on now. But you've got to understand the Bible says that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices and that we're not to give any place to the devil. So we stay in our elevated position, and no matter what he offers us, it don't matter. We'll be like Jesus. Remember, Jesus is in that elevated position. He's up on the mountain praying. Here comes the devil and trying to tempt him with everything in the world. And he says, you know, get behind me, devil. Get behind me. Remember, he tried to do bread. He tried to get him to take the stone. He said, you know, or cast himself down. You know, he's going through all these temptations, and Jesus just tells him, no, it's written. It's written. It's written. He just stayed with the Word. See, if you just stay with the Word, when the enemy comes in like that, nothing he can do with you. You're in that elevated position. You're an anointed man and woman of God speaking out the Word of God. Understand, you're positioned with Jesus. So you're acting just like Jesus did when the devil come to tempt him. So he can't pull you down to that lower nature. He can't pull you down there where he can do anything with you. You've got to stay elevated. And see, the elevated position, it gives you an advantage over him. You understand that? It gives you that advantage. Charles was talking about deer hunting a few minutes ago. We you all know I like to deer hunt too, and an outdoors person or whatever. But when I deer hunt, I like to hunt from a tree stand. Now, I really just don't like to hunt unless I can get in the stand, because most of the time I'm bow hunting. But the reason I like the tree stand is because it gives me that elevated position. Okay? Whether you realize it or not, I know they act real dumb a lot of times, but deer are smarter than what you think. See, because God designed them with a built-in defense system. They got a nose that can smell for a mile. And they got good eyesight too, and they recognize different things. And so, you know, if I'm hunting and I'm down here, I'm moving down on you guys, I'm sorry, just a little bit. They're not used to me doing this, but if I'm hunting, you see, and I'm down here on the ground, I'm on that deer's level. And you know, you see, I'm on the ground, every one of you look at me right in the eye. You see that? You know, and so if I'm down here hunting deer, he's got the advantage. He can see me with his eyes. He's got a nose that's just unbelievable. He can smell your breakfast from yesterday. You know, I mean, they just got that kind of nose. They can smell human scent, the things that come off of us. The scent comes, they can smell all that, and man, they're gone before you ever saw them. But you see, if I go out there and I get up in my tree stand, and most of the time mine's 18 to 20 foot tall, so I'm way up there. I'm as high as that wall is right there. That's a 20 foot wall. So I'm up there. Now, what happens now if I'm up there and he's down there? No matter how much he looks around, he's not going to see me. Something else that it does while I'm up there is my scent's up here. And so the wind carries my scent away, and it's not, unless it's one of those swirly days, and you've got to watch out for those. But I've got all kinds of advantages now. I sit in a tree stand plenty of times and just sit down and watch deer just eat all over the place. I've watched bucks fight right out in front of me and stuff. Never knew I was around anywhere, could have killed them at any time. Didn't the enemy had no? Well, I'm calling the deer the enemy. They're not really the enemy, but they never did know I was around. Okay. Well, you see, when you understand that, when you understand if you're in your elevated position, you're at an advantage to where you can see what's going on. You can see when the devil's trying to set you up. Let me show you some things. You got that elevated position is just so good. Look in Revelation chapter 4 with me. Revelation chapter 4, now I know I was talking about a natural thing, but we're talking about the elevation that God has placed us on. Revelation chapter 4, John writing here, and he says in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Now, I just want to bring this in because this is really the scripture that the Lord started dealing with me when He on this message. He just spoke to me. He said, "Come up hither." And I started meditating on come. See, I've learned with God when He says something like that to you, He's trying to take you somewhere. You know, and I just sit down when that happens, and I just sit down and start meditating on what God, you know, and this is what God started speaking to me about. You're getting to hear what He talked to me about. But notice here that John said he heard this voice that said, "Come up hither." John's on the earth, you know, on the island of Patmos, really. And here he has this vision, and he hears the voice say, "Come up hither." Now, I want you to notice what happens. Immediately when John came up, he was in the Spirit. You see that? See, here's what you've got to understand about your elevated position will keep you in the Spirit. Your elevated position will keep you in the Spirit. Notice what else happens. He's immediately in the presence of God. Notice he looked and there was one on the throne there. So that coming up hither elevated him to be in the Spirit and be right in the very presence of God. Now, I want you to notice one other thing that happened when John was elevated was this. He says, "Come up hither and I'll show you things that got to come." See, when you stay in that elevated position, when you allow yourself to be there elevated, you'll be in the Spirit, in the presence of God, and God can start talking to you about His plans and purposes. Do you know that God's got plans and purposes? See, some of you just look. You think your daily life is just you going along living haphazardly? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God knows every step. If God knows every hair on your head, He knows every step you're going to take. God's got a plan. God's got some things He wants to accomplish in your life. Some things He wants to do with you. He anointed you for a purpose. And if you'll get in an elevated position where God can talk to you and you'll be in the Spirit, God will start revealing His plan to you. You won't have to wonder, "Well, I wonder what God wants me to do." Come up hither and find out. Get in that elevated place to where God can speak to you. "Pastor, I don't know how to do that." I'll tell you how you do that. You do that by getting in the Word, by getting in prayer and spending some time with God. That's what will get you in an elevated place. Now, God's already placed you there, but as long as you're carnal, as long as you're going after the fleshly lust, as long as you're operating on your lower nature, you'll never get to operate in that elevated place. You've got to get out of that lower nature. The Bible says God called you out of that. And He placed you in the kingdom of His dear Son. But if we're going to be in an elevated place, if we're going to actually operate where God wants us to, we got to know what the Word says, and we got to be able to hear from God. If you don't ever talk to God, you never know when He's talking back to you. Right? If you don't ever talk to anybody, how are you going to know their voice when they talk? See, so you spend time and you start to get to hear from God. Now, here's the thing that I want to tell you. God never intended for you and me to go up against the devil in our own might or our natural abilities. He never intended for us to go up against the devil that way. No, that's why He gave us an anointing. Look at your neighbor, say, you're anointed. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." See that? Go ahead and put the next verse up there for him. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So notice here that God says our weapons, the things that we battle the enemy with, they're not carnal, they're not natural, they're not part of the lower nature, but they're mighty through God to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. Well, I don't know how to pull down a stronghold, Pastor Mike. Well, He tells you the next verse. Right? "Casting down imaginations." Dad Hagin used to say this all the time. You cannot keep thoughts from coming into your head, but you don't have to let it make a nest in your head. He said it was just like birds. You can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest. See, the thoughts can come, but you've got to cast down. The way you keep from going into your lower nature is you cast that thought down. Cast that imagination down. Notice then, you bring every thought into captivity. What do you mean, every thought? You compare every thought to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. In other words, every imagination and every thought must be processed through the elevated position. Because the elevated position will keep you in the Spirit. If you drop down to your lower nature, it'll appeal to your flesh, but it's going against God. And so we got to keep ourselves in that elevated position. That's why God wants you there. Now, sometimes it's hard. I don't know about you, but I even pray and I've had thoughts come. Come on. And you got to cast that down. You got to bring that into captivity. You got to stop. Oh! Have none of that. Or you can entertain it. But the problem is, see, once you give the devil a little place and you entertain something, he'll be back. Come on now. You've got to cut it off. And that's where that elevated position comes in. You can cut him off. No, devil. This stops now. No. I'm casting this down. You may have interjected a thought, but I'm bringing it into captivity to the knowledge of Christ, and I'm throwing it down. So God says we take that elevated position and we view every imagination, every thought that goes through our mind from that position. And it helps us to keep ourselves where we need to be. Now, I want one more scripture, and I'm going to close this thing because I just wanted you to see, and hopefully you'll start operating from this elevated position. Ephesians 1 and 3. We was there in Ephesians just a second. Look at verse 3. It says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath..." Everybody say hath. Does that mean He already has, right? "Hath blessed us with all..." Everybody say all. "All spiritual blessings in..." where? "Heavenly places in Christ." Anybody see that? Do you keep seeing the reference to the heavenly places? God wants you and I to operate from a heavenly plane, not a natural plane. Come on, from a spiritual plane, not a fleshly plane. And when we'll operate there, God says, I can take you and show you things, and I can help you to accomplish what I've called you to do upon this earth. I understand we're on this earth, but we're not of this earth. We live here, and at one time we were part of this earth as far as the family of the devil, but God, because of His great mercy and wherein He loved us, He called us out of that darkness, called us out of the devil's kingdom, placed us over into the kingdom of His dear Son, and now He says, you are no longer a part of that world, you're part of My kingdom. You're still on earth, and that's why the Bible talked about foreigners and strangers, and He says, in this world. But you see, we're citizens of heaven because we've been born again, not citizens of the earth. And so God's telling you and I, you need to be operating in your heavenly kingdom, in the heavenly blessing, in the heavenly power, in an elevated place, rather than be operating from an earthly place. You were earthly, but now you're spiritual. You've become a new creature in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new child in God. Amen. So God wants you operating there. You're just not an old sinner saved by grace. Do you understand that? I hear that still all the time. People, well, you know, we're just all old sinners saved by grace. No, you were a sinner. Look at your neighbor and say, you were one. But you're not now. If you're a born again child of God, you're a saint of God now. Come on, see, so you're not an old sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, you were saved by grace, and now you're a child of God. Listen to what the Bible says here in Revelation. See, God has placed us in this elevated position. And it says in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, hath He made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever. What's He done? He made us kings and priests unto God. Amen. That's who we were. We were sinners, but now we're kings and priests unto God. We're in an elevated position. Right? Listen to Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many sons of God have got in here? Well, you women can raise your hands up too, because you're daughters of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Come on, see, you're already elevated. You might as well start acting like it. Come on, you might just come up hither. Get out of the world. Quit wallowing in the mud with the pigs. Come on. Let's get up and soar with the eagles. Come on now. You see, what's that mean? Well, that means, you know how an eagle fights. You know what they do? An eagle, if they like to feed on snakes. An eagle don't come down and land on a snake on the ground and sit there till he kills that snake on the ground. That's on his territory. That's the snake's territory. The eagle's a flyer. The eagle, he operates in an elevated position. No, that eagle will come down there, and from his elevated position, he'll see that snake, and he'll come down there, man, and he'll clap onto that thing and pick it up immediately and get it out of its environment and take it into his. Come on, see, when the devil's trying to get you in his environment, all you got to do is just close your eyes and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you, and immediately you've taken it out of his dominion into God's. And he'll take that thing up there, and he's got it clipped in there. Guess what? It's a long way down. And all he has to do is just let go of that thing and just let it fall to the ground. When it hits, it's over. It's done. See, if you just get to understand that when you come to fighting the devil, if you just bring the devil up here in front of God and just start giving God glory and bring him over into you and just drop him, it's over. Come on, you see, you've got to get a hold of this thing. That's where God's wanting us to operate, as children of God, as heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God gave Jesus, He gave to you. Well, if He didn't, then He lied. I know it's hard for some people, I don't believe that. Well, you're probably not an heir then, if you can't believe that's what He says you are. It got quiet. Well, you know, if I don't believe God, how in the world can I serve Him? How can I be a son or daughter if I don't believe I'm a son or daughter? Come on, see? We got to operate from this position. That's where God wants us to operate from. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord God, that You've given us this revelation that we are elevated. We're brought up. We're far above principality and power and might and dominion. Thank You, Father God, that You placed us there to operate and to get kingdom business done here upon this earth. Father, You didn't call us just to sit around in a pew. You didn't call us just to walk around and sing, I love Jesus. You called us, Lord, to do battle upon this earth. You called us to have dominion, take authority, and rule and reign as kings upon this earth. Thank You, Father God, that it's Your choice. You called us. You chose us and made us a chosen generation. You made us a royal priesthood, Father. You said our job was to show forth the praises of You who called us out of darkness and brought us into marvelous light. So now, Father, I thank You for every person that's here, Lord, that they are anointed, that they've been called up there. And I thank You, Father God, they're in the spirit realm, in Your presence, Father God, and You're speaking to them right now. Things that You're going to do, things that are to come. And I just thank You, Father, that You'll reveal it to them, Father, and they'll operate in that plane. And I just give You glory and praise for that right now in Jesus' name. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you